titled the message this morning, The Stone, the Seal, and the Centuries. You know, this account is found only in Matthew that we read. And I believe, friends, it is further proof and it is further evidence that Christ did rise bodily from the dead, because his enemies did everything that they could to stop him. His enemies did everything they could to stop his disciples from cheating. Therefore, there could be no deception. You know, reading chapter 27 and those end verses, I wonder if Jesus got into the heads of the chief priest. We remember. It was an uneasy few days for them. We remember. Was there anxiety because of Christ's claim? Were they afraid of him? Why so much trouble since they just killed him? If they really believed that he was just an imposter, just a deceiver, as it says, why did they do so much to make sure he didn't come out of the grave? How could 11 afraid, scared, hiding men steal the body of Jesus from a well-guarded tomb? How many soldiers were at the tomb? How many soldiers are in a watch? You have a watch, Pilate said. Some say that the smallest a watch was 16 soldiers. Some say that it could have been as high as 80. And I know when we do our Sunday school lessons, we get our flannel graphs out, we have one or two guards at the tomb. That's not the case. The Romans always did things in excess to make sure. But if there were two or three guards, you can kind of understand how 11 disciples could overpower them. But that wasn't the case, and that wasn't the lie that the Jews told. Besides this, there were hundreds and thousands of Jewish pilgrims in Jerusalem because of the Feast of the Passover. It would have been hard to steal and hide a body with that many people and without anyone knowing. So we have seen from our study of Romans, I'm going to try to tie this into Romans, our study of Romans, we have already seen in chapter 1, verse 25, that it says they changed the truth of God into a lie. And it says in verse 15, that this is commonly reported among the Jews to this day. The Jewish leaders tried to suppress and silence the truth by having Jesus tried and then turning him over to Pilate to be crucified, but it didn't work. He rose again. So they bribed the soldiers and spread a lie. What does the Bible say? Romans 1:25, they changed the truth of God into a lie. And let me say something, friends. If Jesus Christ is not alive today, our meeting here is vain. And everything we do is vain. Paul tells us it's all vain. It's all empty. It makes no sense. But if Jesus Christ is alive, then our meeting is not in vain. For we are worshiping today the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So notice with me the tomb secured And notice back in chapter 27, verse 62, it says, "Now the next day that followed, the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate." So the chief priests come during the feast days, during the Sabbath days, and they come to Pilate. And they break their own rules that they accuse Jesus of breaking. Why? I believe Jesus got into their heads. And we see that they come to him. They come to Pilate. And they said in verse 63, saying, "Sir, we remember." We remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, "After 3 days I will rise again." Isn't it interesting that his enemies remembered his claim, but his disciples were hiding? That deceiver, what a title for their own Messiah. "After 3 days I will rise again." They remembered his words. And in this time, did they also remember his acts or his miracles? Were they remembering the crucifixion that, were they remembering the earthquake that was at his crucifixion? Were they remembering the 3 hours of darkness upon the earth during his crucifixion? Did they remember that as Jesus died and gave up the ghost and said, "It is finished," the veil in the temple was torn from the top to the bottom that separated the holy place from the holy of holies? The most secure place in all of Jerusalem. Did they remember all of this? "Secure the tomb," verse 64. "Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, 'He is risen from the dead.' So the last error shall be worse than the first." The Jewish people were losing their power. They were losing their grip on the people. Jesus had come and had exposed them. But Jesus had also come to save them. But they didn't believe. They called their Messiah and his ministry an error. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. The disciples were nowhere to be found. Why they were worried about them, I don't know. But notice Pilate's response. Pilate says in verse 65, "Pilate said unto them, 'Ye have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as you can.'" Ye have a watch. Now, what does this mean, ye have a watch? Well, it can mean one of two things, meaning you already have your own guards. Okay? Turn back to chapter 26. Turn back to chapter 26, verse 47. "And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came," and notice what it says, "and with a great multitude, with swords and staff, from the chief priests and elders of the people." So some commentators say, Pilate said, "Look, you have a watch already. Go make it secure." So if that's the case, when Jesus was in the garden, the temple guard, the Jewish temple guard, was a large army. "You have your watch, go make it secure." Could mean that. Either way, a large amount of soldiers. Or, he could be saying, "You have a watch, the guards that already were at the crucifixion, use them." Because remember, this is going to sound barbaric, but crucifixions often took days for people to die. But because the Sabbath was coming, what did they do? They break the legs to speed up the process. So if this watch is Roman soldiers, Pilate is saying, look, use them. Go back to chapter 27 again, please. And look at verse 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he was scourged, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. They stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him in the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, put on his own raiment, and led him away to crucify him. So whether it is these Roman soldiers, which is described here as a whole band, or whether it is the large crowd of soldiers that came with Judas, either way, and I believe, I'll mention it a little bit later, I believe they're Roman soldiers because the Jewish leader said, if this comes to the governor's ears, we'll secure you. If it were the Jewish ones, they wouldn't have to worry about that. So there's a large amount of soldiers there. Don't think back in your Sunday school days when you see the two little soldiers, you know. There's more than two. So they went, verse 66, and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. It's kind of comical. But they did everything they could to stop Jesus from rising from the dead. They put this large stone in front. A stone so large that in other Gospels, the women say, who's going to move the stone for us? And they set a seal. This is the government's way of saying, if you break this seal, you're in trouble. Okay? And they had the soldiers there. So the religious leaders, the politicians, the armed forces try to stop the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Make it as sure as you can. It's kind of comical. For the Son of God was inside. Just waiting the coming day. I know it's not in our scripture, but using a little bit of sanctified imagination, I like to think that the Pharisees did not sleep a wink. And they were up pacing the floor. Because deep down inside, they knew the Word of God. And they really did have no explanation for the miracles that Jesus did. And the tearing of the temple, veil in the temple. Notice the earthquake, chapter 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulcher. So dawn of Sunday. This is why the church gathers on Sunday, not on Saturday. The Jewish people prior to this, their day of worship was the Sabbath, which was Saturday. But we gather, and not just on Easter Sunday, but we gather every Sunday because the cornerstone of our faith is the Lord's resurrection. So we worship the first day of the week, Sunday, because we remember our risen Savior. And the reason he is alive is the reason we are here. So the women begin their journey to the tomb. But there's an earthquake, verse 2. And behold, there was a great earthquake. And the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. So there's this great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descends, and he rolls back the stone which was secured. And he sits on the stone. Now, friend, the stone was rolled away not to let Jesus out, but to let us see in. For he was not there. He was not there. Notice the angel's appearance. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And verse 4, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The guard's reaction. Friends, the bravest soldiers in the world feared, shook, and fainted. Now, when the Roman army came in those days, the Roman army came with their shields and beating their swords on their shields as they came and they got closer to cities or other armies, they instilled fear into their enemies. But these soldiers feared. They shook, their knees knocked together, and they fainted at the sight of the angel. And could it be that seeing inside the tomb, where's Jesus? And they became as dead men. So we're going to skip this part, but the women come and the angel speaks to the women because the guards run away and some are fainted. And we'll see this in a moment. So he tells them quickly, go tell his disciples. So we pick it up in verse 11, the bribe and the lie, verse 11. Now when they were going, meaning the women, as they were going back to report to the disciples that Jesus, the angel says, Jesus is alive. When they were going, behold, some of the watch came to the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. Notice the words, some of the watch, not all of the watch. Remember the Sunday school class, if there's two, one falls and faints, the other way. It doesn't say one of the watch, it says some of the watch. They left their watch. Think of the fear that must be in their lives. They watched him tried. Maybe they were some of the ones who were beating him on the head and spitting on him and mocking him. They watched him tried. They watched him crucified. They watched him died. They heard his words on the cross. Maybe they heard the centurion after the earthquake and the 3 hours of darkness. Maybe they heard the centurion who was over them say, truly, this was the Son of God. Now this. They ran away. They told the Pharisees everything that was done. What do you think the Pharisees thought? The bribe, verse 12. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. They bribed them. Politicians haven't changed, have they? Bribe them. Shut them up. Give them a whole bunch of money. And notice the lie. Saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. If they were sleeping, how would they know the disciples came and stole him? While you were sleeping, say his, all right, let's put that, while I was sleeping. How do you know what happens when you sleep? Some of you are sleeping now. You'll have to have your wife tell you what Pastor said. Because you won't know because you're sleeping. How would you know what's happening when you're sleeping? If some were sleeping, why wouldn't the others awake them? You know what sleep meant on a Roman watch? Death. And we already know how cruel the Romans are because Pilate crucified an innocent man simply to please the crowd. And if some, verse 14, and if this come to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you. This is why I believe they were Romans, not the Jewish guard. We will persuade him and secure you. I bet that made them feel at ease. After all, they couldn't even secure the tomb and the lie that was spread. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Friends, if you know anything about the history of the Roman people and the Jewish people, and for the Romans to stoop this low, to be put under, if you will, the authority of the Jewish people, whom they hated, they were afraid. And I believe that they were afraid because they knew Jesus was alive. You know, a lot of times we say Mary Magdalene, you know, was the first there, but these Roman soldiers were the first to know that Jesus rose from the dead. Because while they were coming, the earthquake, and it made them shake with fear. They accepted the bribe, they did as they were told, and this lie was commonly reported. And there's many lies today that is still believed about the tomb. We can go to certain churches in the area and hear the lie that Jesus rose in the hearts of their disciples because they missed Jesus so much they just wanted to see him again, so they imagined him. His spirit rose. Some believe in what's called, believe it or not, the swoon theory. The coolness of the womb, of the tomb revived Jesus. And after being scourged and crucified and stabbed, speared, he was able to push the stone aside and come out and appear to his disciples. They exchanged the truth of God to believe the lie. And it's so much easier, friends, to just believe the truth. Jesus is alive, just as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, the angel said. 500 people, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, over 500 people saw him alive. Eyewitnesses. What do we make of all of this? What do we make of all of this? Not that we as believers need it, but this is further proof, my friends, that Jesus rose bodily from the dead. They did everything they could to keep him there. They set the stone. They sealed the stone. They guarded the stone. The best trained and bravest soldiers in the world stood guard. But they shook with fear and fainted as dead men. Then they followed the order of the Jews. They accepted the bribe from the Jews, from people they hated. Friends, try as best as you can. You won't be able to keep Christ in the tomb. You can't. Believe the lie all you want, but Jesus is alive. Critics of the resurrection. He's alive. And one day, he's coming as judge of all the earth. And whether you believe or not does not matter, for he is the truth. And the truth is, you will stand one day before him, and you will have to answer. And there is only one answer. And it's not, well, I did the best I could. I was good. I wasn't that bad. I wasn't a Republican like those Trump supporters. All kinds of stupid things are going to be said on Judgment Day. And the only answer is to the question, why should I allow you into heaven? The only answer is, I don't deserve to be in heaven, but I come here on the merits of one who died for me. And I come here clothed in his righteousness because he died in my place for my sin. And he appeased the wrath of Almighty God for my sin. And my Savior is alive. Death could not hold him. O grave, where's your victory? O death, where is your sting? We serve a risen Savior, folks. We remember. Remember the words of the Pharisees. We remember. We remember Jesus' own words. We remember Jesus' miracles. We remember the trial where we had to get false accusers to come. We remember the earthquake at his crucifixion. We remember the 3 hours of darkness. We remember him on the cross saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. We remember the temple veil torn from the top to the bottom. Now we remember the words of the guards who said he's not there. Another great earthquake, a brilliant, powerful angel. What happened to these men? I know we're told in Acts that many of the priests believed. And I hope many of these priests believe. But these were people who did everything they could to stop the resurrection of Jesus. And he still rose. So how do we respond? Do we believe the lie? Well, Pastor, this is nice to hear this once a year. It's nice to come to church on Easter and hear the story of the resurrection, but I really don't believe it. Then you're believing a lie. It may be a lie you've heard. It may be a lie you've concocted in your own mind. But nonetheless, it's a lie and comes from the father of lies. But the truth is, Jesus is alive. Come see the place where the Lord lay. How will you respond? Will you respond in continued unbelief or will you respond in belief? Why did Jesus come? Friends, our whole calendar is based on Jesus. You cannot believe that he did not exist. History proves that wrong. He came. We have holidays that celebrate his birth. That are celebrated around the world. We have holidays that celebrate his death, his resurrection. The fact that Jesus Christ came cannot be denied. Why did he come? He came to die for you. You. If you were the only person in the whole world, Jesus would have come and died for you. He took your place on the cross. As your sin, as my sin was being poured out upon him in the garden, and the weight of that sin began to come down on him, and he was sweating, as it were, great drops of blood as that sin came upon him. He said, "Nevertheless, Father, not my will, but thine be done." And he rose and met his accusers face to face. And he put out his hands, and they tied his hands, and they led him away with no rebellion. They lied about him. And they tried him, and they crucified him. And he died as the perfect, sinless Lamb of God as our sacrifice. And if the story would end there, we would be of all men most miserable. Because if Jesus would have done everything he did but not raised from the dead, he would not have been who he said he was. But he rose from the dead in the same body that they crucified him. Remember, he told Thomas, "Touch me, feel me. Spirit doesn't have flesh and bones." He ate in front of them to prove he was alive. Mary was clinging to him. Kind of hard to cling to a spirit, figment of your imagination. He's alive. Because God accepted his sacrifice. Because his death, friends, his death proved that Jesus was a man. His resurrection proved that Jesus was God. "For I have power," Jesus said, "to give my life and to take it again, to rise from the grave." So where are you this morning? What do you believe? Do you believe that it's just a nice story? Or do you believe that Jesus truly is the Messiah? Truly is the crucified, dead, buried, risen again, Savior of the world, who's coming again? And friends, he did it for you because he loved you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God commendeth, or God demonstrated his love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you'll be saved. Today's the day of salvation. I believe the Lord's coming soon, and one day every one of you will stand before God and have to give an answer. You've been warned. The day is coming. Accept him today. Every head bowed, please, every eye closed.